good to be back with you all tonight. It's good to be in God's house most of all, and it's good to be saved. Without the blood of Jesus, we wouldn't be nothing, but through and by his life, we can be something, we can be better one day. I've just got a simple thought for you tonight. I won't be before you long, but I was thinking about all the deaths that's been going on around us. You know, about every family you come in contact with has had somebody pass on. And I got to thinking about the fact of if today was our last day, or if we had a sickness and this would be the last year of our life, what kind of testimony are we leaving behind? And what kind of example are we setting? And would God be pleased with what we're doing? You know, I'll borrow your imagination. I got to thinking about what if God spoke to your heart tonight and said, you've got 24 hours to live, or you've got 6 months to live, or you've got 2 hours to live. What things in your life would you be thinking about? What things would you be concerned the most about? You know, there's a lot of people out there today that I believe if they knew that this might be their last breath, they'd be doing things a lot differently. And if they, thank you, brother. And if they really knew that those that are not saved knew that there is a place as real as hell and that there's a place like heaven, that they would be doing some things differently. So I got to thinking in my mind about what things are we doing that sets an example, and what things are we doing that are pleasing to God. And I wound up over in Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read a couple different verses there tonight. But I was just thinking about all the things that we do that are pleasing to us, but God's not in. And about all the things that we do that are pleasing to God when we get out of them. Now, Brother Aaron, a lot of times God's wanting to work in our life, but we're in the way. We get in the way of Him doing what He needs to do for us and what we need to do for Him. And the biggest thing that we have is just ourselves thinking that we're not good enough or we can't do something. But if you'll look down at verse number 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Verse number 13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. In these three verses, we see that no matter what we're doing, we're to be about God. We're to be about Him always. And no matter what we think we can't do, we can because of Jesus. You know, I thought about a simple thing. I'll borrow your imagination for a minute. If this was the throne of God, and He was sitting, and we walked up, and He said, Brother Josh, you've got 12 hours, and you're out of here. You're going to die. What things do you feel like that you need to do to let everybody know that you serve me and you live for me? When we start thinking about that, we think, well, everybody I know knows I'm a Christian. Does everybody really know? The first thing that we have in our lives is we're to let our light shine. You know, when we first get saved, what's the first thing we do? First thing I did was call Mama. You know, I had to call Mama and tell her because I'd been rough growing up. I wanted her to know. But we go out and we tell everybody. But the older we get and the more we get rooted in and settled in, the less we tell people. The less we let it known that God is in our heart, that we live for Him, that we've been born again, that we believe in Jesus. The further along we get, the more laps we get in it. So if God was sitting here tonight and he said, how many people have you shown me to through your life? How many of us could say that every person we come in contact with has seen God in us? Not all of them, because we get in the flesh. We live in the flesh. You know, the spirit inside of us is perfect, but this flesh is weak, and we fall short of God's glory every day. But we're to strive to be like Jesus, who was perfect. So when things are going on in our life that are affecting us, we need to be praying harder for strength from God. Because if it's getting strong in our life to where they're not seeing our light, God's not pleased with us. You know, Brother Luke, if everything in our life is going wrong and we're telling everybody about all the wrong things in our life, we're no different than they are. You know, you come across people that are lost, that don't know God, and their whole lives fell apart. You know, I had heard a story one time of a man that he started going to church and he got saved. And he was there every service. He was helping them sing. He was working on the church. And then slowly they started noticing that he was not there. He had missed the service here and there. And then he stopped coming at all. And the pastor went to visit him and said, Brother, he said, you've not been at church lately. Is everything all right? He said, well, it's not. He said, because since I started serving God, I don't have any friends anymore, because nobody will come around. And he said, I don't have any money anymore, because I give it all to the church. And he said, I don't have any fun anymore, because if I'm not working, I'm down at the church. He said, so I decided that I'd just soon live the way I was as to be part of what you all got going on. And the pastor talked to him and tried to encourage him, but he never came back. You know, we're at a point in our life right now to where everything going on in the world is trying to pull Christians out of church. They want to deceive the church. Everybody that's going, when something starts going wrong, the devil's got something that entices them, that pulls them out. Everything that was going on in our life when we got saved is what he uses to get us back out. And if we're not being faithful to God and not being strong with him in our life and letting his light shine, then he's not truly living inside of us. When we go out each day, they ought to be able to look at us and know that God is inside of us. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12 says, having your conversation honest among Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. That day of visitation is when God's speaking to their heart. You know, people speak against us and they persecute us. They did the same thing to Jesus. But that's no reason for us to hide him down inside of us and not let him out. And that's, a lot of people don't want to offend somebody, so when it comes up to saying something about God, they kind of hold back. But we got to let him out. If we don't tell the world and we don't tell sinners about him, nobody else will, because the world doesn't want him. They don't want to have to live a certain way. They don't want to have to do certain things in their life. They want to live the way they want to. But we've got to be an example the way that Christ was an example to us, by letting our light shine. You know, if you turned all these lights off and it was dark outside and we was all sitting in here, we're not going to be able to see where we're going. And if I've got a flashlight and I cover the end of it, it's not helping us none. We still can't see where we're going. And until we let that light out, none of us can see where we're going. It's the same way that having that flashlight and covering it up is like having your Christian life right there in your hand covered up. And they sinners all around you wandering in darkness. And they can't see where they're going, and they don't know where they're going. But when you turn that light on and you show them the way, you show them how they should live, and you set forth an example, you have done what God wants you to do, and you're showing them how they can come. And they'll come forth and glorify God through your life because you showed them which route to take. You showed them how to get to Jesus. You showed them how to live. But hiding it inside of us does nobody no good. Now, the second thing that we have is, are we faithful in prayer? You know, that's one of the strongest things, is that relationship with God. If he was sitting here tonight and we walked up, would he know us? Would he know the sound of our voice? Has he heard it often enough? You know, he knows us because we're his children, but does he know the sound of your voice? You know, are you having a constant, steady relationship with him? You know, we when we're married, when we have kids, we talk to them every day. And if you go a day, Brother Aaron, without talking to your kids, it eats you up inside. I mean, all you want to do is you want to see them, you want to talk to them, you want to hold them. God's the same way. You know, no matter what age we are, we're all his children. He looks at us just like little babies. All he does is he wants to help us. You know, when you're first teaching your kids how to walk, you've got to guide them. You've got to teach them that this is wrong and that's wrong. But by talking to them is how that you teach them. By talking to God is how he teaches us. You know, he speaks to us. He shows us through his word things that we shouldn't do. He shows us which way to go. He shows us what not to take part in. You know, if you've got something hot and you've got a little toddler running around, you tell them, don't touch that, that's hot. You know, God's the same way with us. When he's speaking to us, he's telling us, you know, don't mess around over here. That's sin, that's hot, it'll ruin you. It'll burn you and destroy your life. But if we're not talking to him, we're not listening to him either. You know, if he's giving us example every day and he's telling us, you know, Matthew 24:46 tells us, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. He comes and he finds us for him. He comes and he finds us working for him. He finds us wanting to talk to him. He finds us wanting to study. He finds us wanting to be about him and not about us. Keeping that close-knit relationship is what keeps us with him. When we start slipping away from him, we start slipping away from our Christian lives, and we start getting ourselves into a point to where we don't want anything to do with God anymore. We don't want anything to do with church. We don't care about letting our light shine because we don't care about it ourselves. We start pulling away from him. Having that close relationship with him is important to us because we want to live for him. We want to have that close-knit relationship. That gets us into the point that we're doing what God wants us to do because we're talking to him on a regular basis. You know, we're keeping in touch with him. You know, my wife's uncle, he often said he was out of work for a while, and he said he'd get up in the morning and he'd say, Lord, where would you have me go today? What would you have me do? And he said a lot of times he said after praying that the phone would ring. Or he'd be driving down the road and his cell phone would ring and somebody calling wanting him to come do something. God was guiding his pathways because he was entrusting in him to guide him. You know, a lot of times we jump up, we get in a big rush and we run out. And we've not checked with God, we've not communed with God, we've not talked to him. We just rush out into the day. And then 3 or 4 hours into it, it's the awfulest mess that ever was. We didn't ask God's guidance. We didn't seek him. That's what, if we're doing what he wants us to do, then we're going to be wanting his guidance. We're going to be wanting his leadership in our life. And my last point tonight is, do people see Christ in us, or are we having to tell them that we're Christian? You know, if you go down, say you go down to Walmart, and you walk around in there for a little while, you can tell. It's not judging people. The Bible tells us that you can tell a fruit, you can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. If it's of good cleanliness, it bears good fruit. If not, it bears rotten fruit and nasty. And if you go down there long enough and you start looking around and you start listening, you can tell who's what. You can tell who Christian people are, and you can tell those that don't know God at all by listening. And by listening, people around us hear God in us. You know, just like we listen for Christian people, so do they. They listen to hear. You know, those people that you work with, you might not know it, but when you go in on Monday morning or Monday evening, whatever shift you work, and you're talking about being at church and what God did at church, the ones that you think ain't listening, they're the ones that's really listening. Because they're sitting there, they've come to a point in their life where they're starting to think, you know, there's something better out there. There's something more that I could be. And they're starting to think about God, and you don't even realize it, but by your speech, by your actions, you're drawing them in. And by being about God's work is how we see that come in. You know, we get to a point where when we get so much of letting our light shine and we get so much prayer time with God that we stop thinking about, you know, am I doing what God wants me to do? Because you're committed to Him. You're full of Him. You're in sync with Him. You become one with Him. And when you go out, you're already thinking. Right here in your mind, you're already thinking, you know, if I do this, is God going to be pleased with it? If I do this, is God going to get glory out of it? That's the main thought that we have in our mind is God going to be happy with what I do? Is God happy with how I talk? Is God happy with my life? You know, you start thinking about that, and that's all that's on your mind. You don't go out and you do something, and you're like, oh, I probably shouldn't have done that. Because you're thinking the whole time, because you've got this relationship with God. And if He walked up and said, well, today's your day, you know, 12 o'clock tonight, you're going to die, and you're going to be in heaven with me. You know, when you lay down and you die and your family comes out, if you've lived a life like that, ain't no question for them. You know, they're for sure. They know, hey, he's in heaven with Jesus. You know, they don't have to think. They don't have to wonder, because the life that you live set forth an example. You know, through Jesus' whole life, everything that He ever did, He was persecuted, He was made fun of, He was mocked, right down to on the cross at Calvary. Everything. They made fun of Him, they whipped Him, they beat Him, everything. But He kept pressing on. When people start persecuting us and they start saying, oh, I can't believe you believe in that old God fairy tale. You know, I heard a preacher quote it like this once. He said, if I got to the end and it was my time to go and there was nothing there, I've lived the best life I've ever lived. He said, but if you get to the end and there is a heaven, there is a hell, and you've not made preparations, you've made the biggest mistake of your life. You know, being prepared, being committed to God is worth it all when you get to the end. You know, the Word of God tells me, the Spirit inside of me tells me that all this is real, but those people out there that don't know, those people out there that are wondering, the life that we live could be what keeps them from hell. It could be the one thing. You know, we had a delivery at the store here a few weeks ago, a lumber delivery. And it was late, about 9 o'clock at night, when Jimmy got to unload the lumber truck. And the truck driver came in the store to give him something to drink and a snack. He was going to spend the night in the parking lot in his truck. Jimmy said he felt led the Lord to ask him. He said, if you died driving that truck home, where would you go? And his response was, heaven, I guess. And Jimmy asked him, he said, do you know for sure? And he said, no, I don't. He said, would you like to know? He said, I would. And he got saved right there in the store. But everybody around you, you might look at them and say they're a good, godly person. But deep down inside, they might not have never been saved. You know, all around us, people can deceive us what they are. You know, those contractors all over the country that, oh, they're good at what they do, and they'll come in and take every dime you got and don't know the first thing about what they signed up for. You know, those people out there that say, oh, yeah, I'm going to heaven, but they don't know the first thing about how to get there. Nobody's never told them. You know, if we're going to be God's helpers, we're going to be God's workers, we ought to be qualified. We ought to be, when somebody looks at us, they ought to know. When we speak, they ought to know. Everything about your life, they ought to know that you're God's worker, you're God's singer, whatever you're doing, whatever job that you have. You know, all of us have a different place. If God wanted us to all do the same thing, we'd all been made the same way. But we're each different. We each have different fields that we're better in. We each have different qualifications that we can do God's work in. And if Brother Aaron might be a little better at something than Brother James is, and Brother Luke might be a little better at something than Brother Rudy is, but all together, we're doing God's work and we can see things happen. If you go out and you build a house, you've got concrete workers, you've got carpenters, you've got roofers, painters, drywallers, the list goes on and on. But just one of them can't do it. It takes all of them working together to build up the house. It takes all of us working together to build up God's house. It takes all of us working together to see people saved. Because you might not reach out to somebody the way I would, and I might not reach out to them the way you would. But if we're all waiting on the other one to do something, and we're not doing anything at all, we'll say, well, this brother here's got it, or this sister's got it, then God's not working in us because we're not willing to do anything for Him. If we get saved and all we ever want to be is what we started at, we're going to get away from God down the road. If we don't have a desire to be more for God than when we first started, what did we really get God to start with? Because every day I want to be more. I want to be more than I was the day before. You know, if somebody comes by, I want them to be able to look and see that, yeah, I live for God. I don't want them to have to guess and say, well, he don't act no different than that person over there does, and I know they don't know God. You know, we need to set forth an example that people understand where we stand for. They don't have to question. Now, I've been working on my mom's house doing some re-roofing, and my cousin was helping me, and lo and behold, they was going to be having a little party. And his nephew was with him. He said, oh, you were to come over there. And my cousin looked at him. He said, no. He said, there's going to be stuff going on over there he don't take part of no more. He said, don't invite him over there because he won't come. I didn't have to tell him I didn't want to go. He already knew because he knew where I stood at. You know, if everybody around you is kind of questioning where you're standing at, maybe God is too. Maybe He's wondering where you're at. Maybe He's wondering what you really want to do for Him. Maybe He's wondering if you're really His or not. If you're no different than a lost person, then God really ain't working in your life. If you don't have a desire to work for Him, to see things happen in His house, to see things happen in your life, to see lost family saved, to see lost friends saved, do you really have that relationship with God to where if He come down and said, you've got 12 hours to live, what are you going to do? if he asked you that question, what answer would you give him? I mean, really think about this tonight, because it's all around us. People are dying. They're like, oh, I can't believe they're gone. You know, it's just, it's our time's coming. You know, my whole life I've heard, you know, the Lord's coming back, the Lord's coming back. We're closer now than we ever was. We need to be more ready now than we ever was. You know, when it comes time to go, our family shouldn't be standing there at the casket going, I hope they went to heaven. They should know we went to heaven by the life we live. We should leave a testimony that our children can say, I want to live my life like my daddy did or like my mommy did. They were to be able to see God in us, and we should be setting an example for them and everybody around us. But just carry this thought with you. If God was sitting in front of you and told you, what would be the first thing you would do? Would you have to run around trying to tell everybody how much you love God and how much you live for Him? Or could you just go spend that last little bit of time with your family knowing that everybody knows that you've done everything God has asked you to do? You've not sat back when God said, oh, well, I want you to go talk to this person. Well, I'll do it tomorrow. If God lays something on your heart, don't put it off till tomorrow. Do it now. When you ask God to come into your heart and save you, He didn't say, well, just wait till in the morning, we'll do it. He did it right then. If He's asking you to work for Him, it's now. It's not later. It's not when it's convenient for you. It's when God wants you to do it. So we need to step out and be ready when God needs us. You know, if he's coming forth, if He come right now to carry all of us out of here, would we be ready? You know, I could sit here tonight, I know most of you, and I could say, yeah, they're all going to be in heaven with me. But that's not my decision. That's between you and God. We have to work out our own salvation. Mama and Daddy ain't going to get us to heaven. Grandma and Grandpa ain't going to get us there. It's between us and God. I had a great uncle that died here not long ago, and it was about a day before that he actually died that they convinced him that Mama and Daddy's salvation wasn't going to get him to heaven, because that's what he'd been taught his whole life. You know, do you know for sure that you're God's? Does He know that you're His? Are you doing what He wants you to do? I don't know your heart. I don't know if you need to pray or not. But if you got the least little bit of doubt in your mind tonight of whether or not you're going to go to heaven, now's the time. You know, if you don't know if you're saved or not, now's the time to get it right. Now's the time to commit to God. If you want to see things happen, maybe it's not you should be waiting on God. Maybe God's waiting on you. Maybe He's got everything laid out and He's just waiting on you to step out. A lot of times we'll sit and wait on God, say, oh, God's working on it. I'm waiting on Him. He's waiting on you. He's got everything ready. Before you ever ask Him, He already had it all laid out. He knew exactly what you was going to ask. He was just waiting on you. You know, if God's wanting you to do something in your life, if He's laid something on your heart, if He's trying to get you to go to the next level, He's waiting on you. He's laid everything out. You know, today might be the last chance that you get to go to the level that God wants you to go to. This might be your very last moment to do what God wants you to do. You know, if anybody feels like praying, come on. If anybody wants to testify, come on. That's what the Lord had laid on my heart.